Welcome back to Ed Show 108. I'm joined by a special guest today, one of our evangelists from Germany. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Heike from Germany, as you were saying. I'm a technical evangelist as well, and I'm here for an internship shadowing and trying to attend everything I can.
Well, welcome to the team. I'm Simon Perriman, your technical evangelist covering private cloud. And today we're going to start by talking about the news, and then for our interview, we're going to be covering Windows Azure Pack and look at the extensibility functions. So how you can integrate add-ons, how you can tie it with other third-party components and other systems. But first, the news. I think the first topic we're going to be talking about today is a release that came out of TechEd, and that is a series of exam certification prep courses. Now, during TechEd, we record all of the sessions to make them available to our customers on demand. And we've recorded all of these different exam preps covering Windows Server, SharePoint, Communications, Office 365, the MCSC Private Cloud, along with SQL Server 2012. So if you're thinking about getting ramped up for an exam, this is kind of a great way to kind of spend in about an hour, 90 minutes, really understanding the basics, what type of questions you're going to get, what type of wording, and just really give you some best practices to help you pass the exam.
Tell me, so why do you think certifications are important?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I personally do certifications as well.
Me too.
That's part of my commitment, you know, so that I can be credible when I'm out there speaking to customers. Really, certifications are important because they prove that you have the knowledge you say you do. You know, if you're going to a job interview, right, and you say, I know Windows Server, well, there's probably a million people out there that can make that same claim. But if you actually have that, you know, tangible piece of paper, that's really trying to provide evidence that really gives you that credibility and kind of supports your claims. So definitely a best practice. And we actually find, you know, we do a lot of internal marketing research. We find people that are certified, they get higher salaries, you know, because they are considered more competitive, they are considered more experienced. So definitely check it out. Certifications, some of them aren't easy. Do you have your private cloud one?
Yes, I have them.
But it wasn't that tough.
No, it was.
Yes. I'll be honest, I may not have passed those exams my first time.
No, me neither.
So yeah, definitely a great way to kind of prep, understand what's coming up. Now, what's next? We have an announcement around some new Azure feature.
Oh, yes. It's coming out in public preview in July, and it's a new Azure service called Azure Machine Learning. And that's a way of, let me explain it a little bit, what it is about, of applying historical data to a case by creating a model and using it to successfully predict future behaviors or trends.
Mm, okay.
So, for example, Bing does it for the soccer tournament that is going on at the moment, and Bing predicts which
Let
team
Let me guess, Germany?
I haven't looked at it, but yeah, Bing predicts which team has the best chance of winning. And to doing this is like you evaluate strengths of each team from past tournaments and like previous win, loss, tie records and weather forecasts and all the stuff you need to put it in a, in a model, and then you can predict the future. GPS traffic is doing that, online product recommendations, or my very best friend here in the US, Cortana. So she's, they all use the power of machine learning. And with a new service, you get the capabilities of new analytic tools, powerful algorithm, and years of experience in machine learning. And so my call to you, my call to action, check it out in July and use past data to predict the future.
Very cool, very cool. Well, we're going to switch back to some more resources we're making available, and we have just released several new virtual labs on TechNet. Now, TechNet Virtual Labs, we basically provide a back-end host and infrastructure for you to actually get real-world hands-on experience through a guided lab course. Now, if you've ever been to a major event like TechEd, you've gone to that hands-on lab area, launched a lab, you get that kind of 30-minute to two-hour walkthrough, that's the exact same thing you get here. And the new labs that we've just released are several new System Center ones, where we break it down by different components, looking at the infrastructure, services, and applications. We then also have some labs that kind of give a broad overview of System Center end-to-end. So you get to spend about 10 minutes going through every single System Center component. And then we've also released a new one for failover clustering. So this is going to allow you to validate a cluster, deploy it, create it, deploy a virtual machine on top of it, a scale-out file server, and even configure Hyper-V replication. So if you want to check out these new guided labs, we're going to include the link right at the bottom of the page.
Wow, great labs.
Thank you. I built them myself, actually.
Wow. So And I have
some updates from the MVA now, right?
Exactly, from the MVA. I start with it's a jumpstart, Microsoft Corporate BI and SAP BI integration. So it's all about transforming data into insights with self-service business intelligence. And it's about, it's a discussion, and it gives you practical tips, helps you to go beyond the same old reports, build visual models, and collaborate with your user. Because previously, it was more the users have to had to ask the IT to provide the resources, the data, and to create some dashboards and visualization. And now, with all the nice BI tools, the user can do it by themselves. And yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I think we announced or we released the new SAP BI integration with Excel add-on, and so the user can now use it. And if you want to show the user how they can use it, just have a look at the jumpstart.
Great. And then the next one we have is the Office 365 one, right?
Yes, that's true. And it's about the new tools and processes to really migrate your on-premise workloads to Office 365. They start with planning and doing it in a pilot, and then they go through the whole process and explain which services you can use and how you deploy Office 365 on-premise. And of course, how you get started after the pilot, so like bring it down in the real environment up and running. And also they talk about service communication, ongoing updates, planned platform design changes and everything. So all you need to know about Office 365 in the cloud connected with your on-premise network.
And one more, right? We have hybrid cloud. Yeah. You know, I've been hearing a lot about this whole hybrid cloud. What exactly is hybrid cloud?
So hybrid cloud. So you, traditional environments, IT environments, were on-premise. So it's called, they have all the stuff in their house, in their own data
center.
That's
a private cloud.
That's a private cloud with automation in the background. So yeah. Okay. And now with the new cloud services, you can connect your on-premise network with a cloud. And that means you can extend your network, and you can really take the power of a cloud data center, spin up virtual machines, use storage as much as you need at the moment, and don't care about the machines you're having in your own environment, having them for now, maybe for a month, and then you don't need them anymore.
Nice. So kind of allowing you to really run applications anywhere, right? Whether that's in your own data center, up in Azure, or a third-party host.
So it's about machines, storage, backups, applications, as you were saying. And this course takes you through the whole services that you can use by extending your private cloud to the public cloud, like virtual machines, storage, Azure backup, and virtual networks, cloud services, and everything you need to know about extending your network and using the cloud.
Great. Well, check out those courses. They're now available on demand. But if you want to learn a little more about hybrid cloud, we've actually released a hybrid cloud series with two of Microsoft's leading architects here. One of them is our Vice President of the Cloud Services team, Brad Anderson, and the second is our Technical Fellow for Windows Azure, Mark Sinovich. Yeah, sorry. And so basically, they're going to have a kind of a fireside discussion and kind of spend about an hour, 90 minutes really kind of talking about Microsoft's vision, Microsoft's strategy to hybrid cloud. So sign up for this webcast, which is on June 23rd, to go learn more. But we also have one more live event you may want to check out, and this is known as our Virtual IT Camp Online. Now, the IT Camp is a series of training programs that the evangelists like myself, all of our peers around the world, you as well, you've been doing a ton of these. We actually go and basically spend a day of training, hands-on, interactive, covering Microsoft virtualization. Now, since you may be located in a country where we're not actually offering this in person, or we ran out of room in the registration, you can sign up for this live online class and actually get trained through the internet. So all digital learning, we still have the hands-on labs. So really kind of give you an opportunity to ramp up on Microsoft virtualization.
That's cool. So that means the user installs the whatever he needs for the camp, and then he can really participate. Like
exactly. So everything's digital. It's like watching a video of, wow, you know, like a jump start, and then they click launch. So those TechNet virtual labs we took a look at earlier, where it spins up a full environment, you get one of those as well. So you can actually walk along with the instructor.
That's cool.
Follow a virtual guided lab.
So I will do that as well, because I usually attend my own IT camps as a speaker, but nice. I don't have the time to really attend some other IT camps because we have several different IT camps. So cool. We'll
Very
check
cool.
it out.
We'll check that out. That is coming out on June 26th. But there is actually one more live event, which is kind of related to our topic here. And we're going to be doing a jumpstart on the Windows Azure Pack on July 16th and July 17th. 2 half-days in the morning, so that's going to be morning time in the US. So that's going to be the evening in Europe, so you don't have to stay up late. Just got to give up an evening. But that's going to be worth it. So stay tuned. This event is not yet posted, but if you go to the Microsoft Virtual Academy in a few days, you'll see the Windows Azure Pack Jumpstart on July 16th and July 17th. Now with that, that wraps up the news. We're going to go over to our interview. And in this interview, we're again going to take a look at Windows Azure Pack.
Good.
And again, really try to focus on the extensibility. So once you've got it installed, you need to go connect it to, let's say, a third-party ticketing system. You want to go and extend it to do automation. We're really trying to look at how you can take that base Windows Azure Pack installation and really connect it to the rest of your infrastructure. Let's go check that out now. And welcome back to The Ed Show. I'm Simon Perriman. And today, I'm going to be talking about one of the newest features coming out from our System Center, Windows Server, Windows Azure team, our Cloud OS team, and that is the Windows Azure Pack. Now, a lot of people have been interested in Windows Azure Pack, but even more, how do I extend it? How do I build on top of it? So I'm joined today by two of our program managers that focus on WAP extensibility. Robert, why don't you introduce yourself first?
Thanks. Robert Reynolds, I'm a lead program manager on the Windows Azure Pack team. I'm focused on kind of the partner extensibility and commerce scenarios.
Walter.
Thank you, Simon. Hi, I'm Walter Oliver. I'm a program manager in the Windows Azure Pack team, and I'm focused on extensibility.
Great. So first of all, Robert, yeah, what exactly is the Windows Azure Pack?
The Windows Azure Pack, it's how you get cloud, especially Azure Consistent Cloud on-premise. It builds on top of Windows Server and System Center and delivers a set of cloud services that are compatible with the Cloud OS.
So is it System Center? Is it Windows Azure? What do you actually need to go and have your own Windows Azure Pack?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So it is real code from Azure, the same code. The Windows Azure Pack team makes that code usable on-premise. It builds on top of Windows Server and System Center, specifically the Service Provider Foundation, or SPF, you might have heard it called, to provide IaaS services, but it also includes a set of website services and database services and a few other things that don't have a hard dependency on System Center, but the IaaS, VMs as a service, virtual networks as a service, does depend upon System Center and SPF.
So what type of customers are you seeing having an interest in Windows Azure Pack?
There's tremendous kind of momentum in our service provider community as they want to participate in being a part of Cloud OS, as well as in the enterprise in private cloud, where they're trying to build and deliver self-service cloud to kind of their internal users and do that in an Azure consistent way that brings a lot of the value prop of like public cloud and delivers it inside the firewall where they can have a little bit more control over things.
And the interface is pretty similar, right? Was that like a design goal, kind of that consistency from Azure, Windows Azure Pack?
Absolutely, and we'll see later in some of the demos, but it's got the look and feel because it's actually the same code. And you can override the look and feel a little bit, which we'll talk about as an extensibility scenario. But it was a design goal to bring as much of the consistency with Azure to on-prem as we could.
So can customers of any size take advantage of the Windows Azure Pack?
Yeah, I think as long as your goal is to offer cloud services to a set of kind of internal customers, anybody can use it. We have small service providers all the way up to large enterprises and large service providers using it today.
Now, why would someone want to extend it, right? Our key topic here is extensibility, yeah, looking at how our partners can add on top of that. What are kind of the key reasons why someone would want to go and extend it?
Well, the key things are integrating it into the environment that you're deploying it into, so a billing system or a self-service portal that already exists maybe, an identity system that already exists, providing value to the tenants. So if you're offering services to a set of customers that are coming to use Windows Azure Pack? How do you give them more VMs that they can consume the IaaS services with? Or how do you create and integrate new services that you can offer them that, you know, maybe we haven't even been smart enough to invent yet? How can you augment and automate kind of below the covers so that the operation of that cloud is even more efficient, you know, integration with PowerShell, System Center, Windows Server, et cetera.
So this is really providing a very powerful self-service portal, right?
Yeah, and from the core is designed for extensibility.
Well, let's start talking about extensibility. Yeah. You know, the first thing everyone looks at is just the colors, the theme, the branding. Can we talk a little bit about how that can be customized first?
Absolutely, Simon, yes. So let's talk, let's give a short example of how you can change the theme or the scheme of the UI. Right now you're looking at the UI for an administrator for Windows Azure Pack. As you can tell, it looks very, very similar to our Windows Azure, public Azure. This is the admin. If I come here, you're gonna see the tenant UI. Now, of course, I haven't signed up for any plans, so therefore I don't have anything showing up there. But one of the things you can do to this UI is get rid of all these colors, add some new color palette that may go along and some messaging that may go along with your organization. So for example, let's do that. To do so, it's fairly simple. We provide an example of how to do it and a little kit that shows an actual change of theme. And I already have it installed. I'm gonna apply a very simple change so that you guys can see how simple it is. And using IaaS Manager, which you guys are very familiarized with. And the one site that we're gonna customize is the tenant site. So we look for the tenant site. And let's browse to wherever the directory is. Once we get here, look for the content folder. And within the content folder, you can copy from the kit that you can download for free, you can copy the third-party theme folder. In this case, I already have a copy, and I'm gonna rename it to the name that is expected, which is third-party theme. Once I do this, and now to pick up the theme itself, we reset the site, restart it, and now we refresh.
Now, is all of the Windows Azure Pack, or at least the UI portal, built on top of IIS?
Everything is built on top of IIS. And here you have it, all the colors change. If you remember, it looked very similar to the admin. Now it has a different color palette. That was the example for the theme change.
All right, well, that was pretty straightforward. That was nice. Now, you mentioned that there was some kit that you can download to make these changes. Is that an SDK, or what exactly is that toolkit?
Yes, we do have a developer's kit. It's available in MSDN, and you can download that for free, of course, and it has samples in it. The samples that include is a theme that you can change, and of course, the instructions on how to do so. And other samples as well of some extensibilities that we're going to talk about in a minute, resource providers, billing adapters, and extensive documentation about all the REST APIs, and inclusive PowerShell documentation on all the commands, which you can get from TechNet as well.
Great, and we'll include a link to that as well in this page as well, so people can just scroll down, view that information. All right, well, next to extensibility, let's talk about identity. Tell me, how can we just integrate with existing identity structures that we have in our infrastructure?
Yes. One of the facilities that Windows Azure Pack has is its capability to change the identity provider. So by default, we bring Windows identity provider, meaning the membership that ASP.NET provides, and also the Windows identity provider for the admins. Now you can change this to have any other provider that provides the protocols for WS Trust and WS Federation. So you can set up your new STS, follow the instructions for whatever that particular provider is, and you have your own identity provider, as long as they follow these standards.
Great, great. Now, next thing we wanted to hear about, or we hear a lot of customers asking, is about the commerce platform. So things about billing, things about money. I mean, first question I get is this supposed to actually replace existing billing systems?
Well, no. It doesn't.
Okay.
It's really meant to be, you know, a cloud services framework that integrates into the existing, whether it's a control panel for a service provider or a big enterprise portal. And then on the back end, usage APIs allow that usage information about those services to be brought into a chargeback system or a service provider's billing system.
Okay. Could we take a little look at some of those commerce features?
You have a billing example.
Sure, yeah, we have one. So if we have the focus on the screen, one of the machines I have contains, this has an example of an integration with a billing system called WHMCS. Something to notice is WHMCS doesn't support billing as in on-demand or as in utility billing. So it supports only the regular monthly or periodic billing. So okay. we support both. So we are a cloud, we're flexible, we're elastic, yet we're backward compatible with whatever systems might be already there in place. So we allow for that to happen. So in this case, I'm going to show you how I'm going to make a small transaction. Here is the tenant UI. This is a tenant. He's going to do something like creating a database.
Now, you know what, I need to take a step back here because you've mentioned admin UI and tenant UI. Could you just kind of quickly explain the relationship between these two portals?
Oh, absolutely, yes. You want to take on that one? Or?
Well, I mean, essentially what happens is there's two different portal entry places and two different experiences. One is the tenant or the end user of the cloud services. And then the other is the administrator, we call him a service administrator, who is responsible for actually operating the cloud services and making sure that they're, you know, available to those tenants. And so those are two different portal experiences in Windows Azure Pack. So you can theme them differently, you can have them on different networks if you're doing high secure deployments, et cetera.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. All right, back to the tenant portal.
Thank you, guys. All right. So right now, I'm looking at the admin portal. Go back to the tenant portal. Here it is. Through here, the tenant will do a transaction, and then we should see how that transaction comes up in the system for in the billing system itself. So I have the billing system running here. It's the WHMCS. Notice that there are four different orders in place. So once I do a new transaction, we should see a fifth order showing up here. So let's go ahead and do so. So I'm here. Let's do a transaction of some sort. Let's move back for a second. Say my account, I'm going to add a new subscription. And say I'm going to have a database subscription.
Now, what exactly is choosing a subscription? What does that mean?
Go ahead.
Yes. So in Windows Azure Pack, we have some core concepts. We have the concept of a plan. We have the concept of resources, we have the concepts of users, and we have the concept of subscriptions. Plans hold resources, resources that can be accessed by users. The way that users access the resources in a plan is through a subscription. So think of a subscription as the entity that ties a user to a plan.
And the plan ties you to the cloud services, right? So all the way from user to cloud services, that subscription is kind of the key. And this is another thing that is one of those principles that we bring from public cloud, like from Azure. Like when you go use Azure, you have a subscription.
Got to get that first, right?
Right?
Yep.
And so it's the same kind of thing in Windows Azure Pack. As a tenant, when you show up, you go in, you sign up for a plan. That then says, oh, you need a subscription to this set of services. And then from that point on, everything that you do is scoped by that original plan and subscription that you got.
All right, great. So after they sign up for the subscription,
yes, so I did a transaction, right? Now I should be able to see the new transaction show up here on my list of transactions in Windows WHMCS, and right there it is. It's number five.
Okay.
So that's very simple. And this example is available, is obviously open source, is part of a set of examples that come with the developer's kit. For those who want to download it, it's in MSDN. And you can simply look for Windows Azure Pack Developer's Kit, and that will do it.
Great. Well, the next topic is one that probably most people are interested in, and that's provisioning virtual machines.
Yep.
That's kind of been the traditional self-service scenario we hear about. Can you tell us a little more about the gallery, virtual machines, how we can load and provision those resources?
So I think both websites and VM roles have a gallery in Windows Azure Pack where the provider can preload templates of websites, and there's a whole set that are provided that are the kind of the common open source, in fact, consistent with the website apps that you go find on Azure or you find in the web gallery for IIS. So there's a bunch of those that are already integrated in. And then for VMroll, the provider can basically go create VMrolls in, integrate them into the virtual machine manager environment underneath, and then they're exposed to the tenants and they can go use them. Maybe you can show them an example of provisioning.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, now let me also take a step back and ask another question. What's the difference between a traditional VM and a VM role?
Ah, well, so a VM is kind of the single monolithic operating system image plus apps all baked in and things like that. And if you want another one, well, you have to go ask for a whole another one. A VM role is a defined VM configuration, but it's intended to be scale out. So you can define a VM role for, say, a website, and then within Windows Azure Pack, you can scale that out and add more instances of that. And what will happen automatically is a new instance will be instantiated and added to the load balancer and the correct network so that it can go into service as part of that tier of an application.
Great, thanks for clarifying.
Yep.
So can we go and see one of these in action now?
Absolutely, yes. Right now I'm connecting to a site that has provisioned already a cloud for virtual machines. And here is the site for the tenant. So the whole idea is that Windows Azure Pack provides a self-serve system to get the resources that you need from the cloud. In this case, we wanted to give an example of a virtual machine, for example, and we can say new virtual machine, and I'm going to get it from a gallery. Because one of the things that you can achieve with Windows Azure Pack is that you are not limited to the items that we provide out of the box. You can extend it in many different ways. One of the ways you can extend it by providing new items that go into the galleries. And we had two of them. One of these is this one. And in this case, we're actually looking at the virtual machine role. Let's look at a web server, a simple web server. Let's get that one.
So here's where the tenant can specify all the kind of configuration
unique settings, right, for that particular one.
And by the way, the CAT team for Windows Server System Center has built a set of these, and they're available for download and can be imported into the environment. So I think they've created a SQL Server, a SharePoint, an Oracle database server. So depending on what VMs you need, there's a whole bunch of kind of blog posts out there about how to create them, and a bunch of examples exist already that you can go grab.
Now, what if for my own company, I wanted to customize one? I wanted to pre-install my own line of business application.
Yep.
Could I do that, save it as the virtual machine file type, and then offer it to people through this gallery?
You can. There's kind of extra things you want to wrap around it to make it scalable and things like that, and that's what the blogs cover.
Okay, great.
So we selected one item from the gallery. And we gave it a name for the machine, and now and we gave it a password, and now we just want to create it. So now, if you see the status bar down below, it says creating virtual machine role. Demo 2 is the name of it, and as soon as it's ready, it will be available for me to connect directly and deploy anything I want in there. Of course, I selected an IIS one. The assumption is that I will be using IIS.
Walter does love his IIS. but it can be Linux VMs, it can be Windows VMs, it can be different apps. Like, so you can use it for standard base images, you can use it for app images, you can use it for complex multi-tier things.
So in general, if it's like a Linux distribution which Hyper-V supports, we would also be able to support it here?
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right, great. Well, let's move on to talk about our next extensibility here, which is what we call resource providers. I'm hoping, could you just kind of define that term? What is a resource provider?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, definitely a true engineer's term. But think of what these are the things that actually provide the service. So they're a service resource provider that plugs in. It's how you add a new service. So websites is a resource provider. Database as a service is a resource provider. The IaaS provider, service provider foundation that System Center ships is a provider. And so these basically plug in a service along with the extensions for the UI so that there's both an admin and a tenant experience, and it works within the quota and subscription system that WAP provides.
Can we take a look at this in action?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. So in the screen right now, you can see a tenant UI. In this case, you see several different items on the column for navigation. Each of these items are extensions done, and each of them represent a resource provider behind it. So for example, in this case, we have a third-party resource provider who created a very nice extension for allowing users to submit support tickets, for example, or requests for activities. So in this case, I can look at some of the requests that I have submitted.
This is actually a service resource provider from a company called GridPro.
Exactly.
That sits on top of Service Manager. So it exposes kind of the incident and request management that capabilities that Service Manager has, and exposes them as a tenant-facing service in Windows Azure Pack.
So in this case, they wouldn't be going to the SM portal to create an incident request, they would be going to Windows
right.
Azure Pack.
So that they just stay in the experience.
So okay. For example, you know, you try to create a VM, it fails for whatever reason, rarely of course, but for whatever reason it happened, who do I go, who do I talk to? Mm-hmm. So GridPro provided that particular scenario. And okay. So here is a set of requests that I have, a conversation that I have had with the administrator of the system. I can go ahead and add a new comment.
And this is really a great way for a service provider to really stay behind the curtain and still expose the conversation that they need to have with their customers in order to deliver great service.
And here's the new comment I just added. So they have a very nice UI that integrates with System Center behind, and in particular with Service Manager. Now, let's talk about some of the aspects about the resource provider. You notice we have the tenant and the admin. On the tenant UI that we're looking at right now, we have two extensions written by GridPro for this particular resource provider. One allows me to track the requests and enter new requests and follow through on the status of them. And another one allows me to enter new activities and see what the status of them are in terms of have they been approved. And that implies, of course, a workflow interaction that Service Manager allows you to provide, and they did a nice work in implementing that.
The really cool thing here is this can kind of fully expose all that richness of automation in System Center between SMA, Service Management Automation, Service Manager, Orchestrator, all of those pieces mm-hmm. can be tied together and used, and they're basically exposed through the self-service experience.
Is that right? And so, what they did is that they created these two extensions. As you can tell, each of them had their own items here on the panel. And whenever a user does an interaction on these, the browser code will be executing those commands and communicating with the server in an AJAX type call. And this server therefore turns around and talks to the resource provider through REST calls. So it's all very standard. Nothing is proprietary. Anybody can come in, look at the specs, look at the documentation that we had in MSDN, and do the same thing. Now, of course, if you create an extension for the tenant, the logical part is that you need to create something for the administrator so that the administrator can actually change any settings or do any configurations of these particular resources. So in this case, if we look at the administrators, UI, you notice that there is the request management, and in the request management, it has all the different controls that allows me to act on my resource provider to make it behave or configure in a different way. In this case, for example, they provide a free version which is something that is common nowadays. They provide a free version for folks to use. It's actually full feature free version, and it lets you get started. If you see the demand for that, then they provide you a way to upgrade as well. And the interface for that is all here, and you can see how the licensing is being complied to and what the status is on each of the items there. So that's an example of a resource provider. And one thing that I wanted to show you is where you can get these resource providers. And one place that you can get these resource providers is what we call the Web Platform Installer, which is the same place where you can get Windows Azure Pack.
And so what exactly is the Web Platform Installer? I'm not that familiar with this tool.
Yes, this tool is very, very handy. It has all the tools that are needed for our entire web internet stack. So any tool, whether it's development tool, whether it's server application, whether it is services or even applications themselves that run within IIS, like for example, WordPress, open source applications, you find them in this tool. In this case, we're going to look for the ones that are on the Windows Azure. And in there, you're going to see two extensions that are part of the Windows Azure pack. One is Cloud Cruiser that gives you this capability of doing chargeback, integrates very nicely with the billing REST API. And we have also the Grid Pro ones, and you saw both of them, the admin and the tenant extensions. And that's the two that are showing there. Of course, I have them installed, so I cannot reinstall them, but you can simply press your add button in your computer and via Web API, Web Platform Installer, and get it installed yourself.
And we're working with a bunch of partners to work, you know, deliver resource providers. So that list will get longer probably the next time somebody goes and, mm-hmm. and checks Web Platform Installer.
All right, we'll keep checking back. We'll see what keeps getting added. Yeah. I know we have a lot in the works as well. We were just at TechEd, spoke to a lot of partners. People are getting really excited about this.
It was. Yeah. It was a great week.
Now, last but not least, let's talk about PowerShell and Service Management Automation, SMA. Yep. How can we go and extend that? First of all, what is SMA? Let's just give a quick overview.
So, service management automation is an automation orchestration resource provider that the System Center team has built that is a native PowerShell workflow engine, a very powerful engine that plugs right in and is contextually aware of what's going on in Windows Azure Pack. So this is kind of an admin side experience. But what it allows you to do is, as things happen in Azure Pack, kind of trigger off of those and go run books that can go interact with Service Manager, can go interact with other third-party tools, can go interact with other parts of Windows Azure Pack. So a very powerful kind of automation engine. The other thing is that it's full PowerShell. So if there's a PowerShell commandlet that you want to integrate into a workflow into Windows Azure Pack, SMA allows you to do that in like a really kind of clean, natural way. It's just, you can directly call and track that workflow using PowerShell.
All right, well, let's see it in action.
Yeah, sure. So you guys were talking about SMA, and as you were talking, I was showing the user interface for SMA. Now, we're going to be looking at how you do...
What Walter was just showing, I don't know if you guys caught it, but it was there's kind of a browser-based workflow editor that's fully integrated into the admin portal of Windows Azure Pack.
Exactly right. So right now, I'm going to be showing some PowerShell commandlets that you can use from any console to interact with Windows Azure Pack. So you don't have to be on the website. You don't have to be using the SMA console to do different things. You can use the large list of commandlets we provide with Windows Azure Pack. And these are available not only to the admin to do various operations in Windows Azure Pack, but we also have the commandlets for the tenants. So tenants who want to automate any part of their task, they can also do so via this commandlet. So I'm going to do a very simple example now. And as you can tell, whenever we do REST calls, likely you're going to need some security token. And getting such a security token is very, very simple. We provide a commandlet for that. It's called the service token or management service token, get management service token. We're going to run that one. And as soon as the command returns, we're going to have a token ready to be used on the second call. This second call does something very, very simple. It creates a new plan. Let's call it.
So this is not something that your typical tenant would do, but this is something that an admin would do as they're setting up their environment or integrating it with another system where they're trying to, like maybe this is, I want to create a custom plan for a new group of users that are coming on. And so I can basically go define that in another system, and then I can use PowerShell to kind of automate the creation of that.
Yep. So every single object in the Windows Azure Pack environment can be manipulated via PowerShell. So let's go ahead right now and create this new awesome demo plan using PowerShell. And here it is, it was created. Now notice that in the moment that it creates, so it gives me information about the plan by default. What were the default values that were provided? One of the values that it provided was the ID. And that ID in particular is something that I can use for my next command, which is add a new resource to that particular plan. Because right now we created a plan, but we have not added any new resource. So I selected SQL Servers, that's Microsoft SQL Server resource provider. We're gonna add that one to this particular plan. Now, the call for the commandlet to do such is the Management Service Plan service. And in there, you provide, of course, the URL to the admin API where you can actually execute these commands. And whenever you say, well, I want to add that, I want to add the SQL Server's resource provider, and you give it the name, because these are unique names, you also need to provide the ID for the plan that you want to add that resource provider to. And let's just execute this. And it already happened. So if we go to our previous page,
so now anybody, any tenant who comes in and subscribes to that plan will automatically have SQL Server database as a service access.
All right.
Okay, here we have.
So there's the awesome demo plan.
There you have it. It's great.
Great.
And it has the SQL Server resource provider associated to it.
Well, that's excellent. I mean, I think you really show kind of a breadth of the extensibility here. Now, as we mentioned earlier, this is something that's still a relatively new product, right? Over time, we are going to continue to see partners build on top of this, right?
Yes.
So where's a good place for people to go learn more about this? Where can they find the latest and greatest releases from our partners?
Yes. Thank you, Simon, for mentioning that. That's very important. Yes, we have spent quite a bit of time doing some documentation and doing some examples on how you can do different things. From TechNet, you can get everything about how you deploy Windows Azure Pack, all the different components, not only the basic portal and tenant, but also everything else, how you deploy the virtual machines clouds, how you deploy the websites cloud, how you deploy your identity service. If you then move to the MSDM side, which is the developer side, then you can find a developer's kit. In there, you're going to find examples of how you do every one of these different items that we talk about. How you can create a theme. How can you create a resource provider. How you can create a billing adapter. And instructions on how you can set it up so that it would use a third-party identity provider that does WS Trust and WS Federation.
So just search for Windows Azure Pack on either MSDN for developer scenarios or on TechNet for kind of IT pro integration deployment scenarios.
Developer's kit, and yeah.
Great, well, we'll post the links to those at the bottom of this page as well. Well, thank you so much for joining us, guys. Yeah. I think that was really helpful. That was rich. We covered a lot in just about 30 minutes there. So hopefully a lot of our own customers out there, they'll start building their own extensions. They now know about our partners, some of the different extensions provided by them. So if you have any follow-up questions, please feel free to post at the bottom of this page. We'll follow up with these guys, and we will get all of your questions answered so you can start building and developing for the Windows Azure Pack. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us, Simon.
Thank you, Simon.
Welcome back. Hopefully you enjoyed the interview, learned a little more about Windows Azure Pack, and see how it has all these great integration points, really allowing it to fit into your existing data center. Now, if you have any questions or comments, how can they reach us?
You can write comments down here, or you can tweet us at TNH.
And we'd love to hear from you. Send us your feedback, your questions, your comments, and we will see you next week. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.